Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight, and welcome to the show. We are here tonight to minister to you, as always, and believe in God for great things, for sure. So get ready for them, all right? We need to get ready. Be prepared. I hope you're in preparation. A lot of people are going to receive things from God because they've been prepared, not because they've been unprepared, right? Yeah. So you got to understand. That's the way it goes. But sometimes you can be too late with your preparation. You can be saved no matter what. You accept Jesus as your Savior. But, you know, you can be too late in your preparations. There's no question about it. And a lot of people don't really believe that. They don't think that's the way it goes. But it does. You can be late. And you know, hey, God is gracious. You just never know what he's going to do. That's for sure. You never know what God's going to do. He's a gracious, kind, loving Heavenly Father. And he is out to bless you and me. And he wants us to know that he is on our side. And he's gracious, kind, and merciful. And he always wants to be. He loves being kind and merciful. So just get used to it. God's a kind, merciful God. All right? All right. All right. So we are going to share some things with you tonight. Get ready for all of it. We're going to believe God for miracles for sure. Thank you for everyone who gives and, you know, prays and believes God that PGN is going somewhere with God and that we are on our way up and out. Yeah, up and out. Up and away, except a lot of people think. Yeah, so it's really going to be cool. All right, here we go. All right, I want to share tonight a couple things with you. I got two different things I want to share with you, and we're going to be talk about them just for a few minutes here, and we're going to get into taking communion. If you don't have your communion ready, get your communion ready, please. And let's get ready for that you don't miss out on your communion and honoring the Lord with your covenant. Your covenant is extremely, extremely important. So, yeah, you need to get ready for that. All right. So, praise God. Get into the Word here and see what the Lord has for tonight. And I got to do some things today that I want to share with you. And by the grace of God, we'll be able to do that for sure. Let's go here. Okay. Okay. One of the things I want to talk about tonight, just for a moment, is a little bit about communion, a little bit about the DNA realm. I just want to kind of touch on that for a moment, but it's very important what I'm going to share with you, and I pray that you'll be able to. To receive it and understand we're not just talking about the DNA and the preparations God's having us do for us, but for the future. And I want to explain some of that to you tonight. You remember in Jericho, most of the people remember this. I'm not going to go to the scripture with it tonight. You can look it up for yourself. But when the children of Israel were in Jericho and they took down the walls of Jericho, God took down the walls of Jericho. It was really cool that the booty that came out of there was strictly for the priesthood, for the Levitical priesthood. It was for the temple, for the tabernacle, for the priest, for the Lord. And so, you know, So we all know what happened. God said to Joshua, tell the people that everything in there, all the gold, the silver, the cloth, the things, everything that's valuable, goes into the tabernacle or into the priesthood and for the Lord. And so, of course, you know, we always have, there's always somebody that's going to mess it up a little bit sometimes. And so there's one family. There was one family who messed that up. And you can read this all in Joshua, in the book of Joshua. Let me see if I can get it here for you real quick. I just wanted to look it up, but I guess I can real quick. I'm not going to look it up because it's going to take too much. So go to Joshua and look up when God told them to what to do and how to do it. Gave them instructions, very specific, easy to understand instructions. Don't take anything out of there for yourselves. It all belongs to the house of God because it was called the first fruits. The first fruits belong to God. The whole first fruit belongs to God. And we'll talk about that more in the future. But so we had one family. We're talking about DNA tonight. We're talking about how God dealt with DNA in the Old Testament the only way he could, because in the day of DNA issues that they had in the Old Testament, there was no way of cleansing them, a family, of a DNA a black mark or a dark mark or a place of darkness in their DNA. When you had a family that had certain issues, that you can be guaranteed that because there was no blood of Jesus to cleanse them on the inside, to cleanse their blood, that that was going to be passed down from generation to generation. So when you understand DNA and how things are passed down genetically in your genetic inheritance, which is a big deal with God, your genetic inheritance is probably a bigger deal than your physical inheritance if you're getting one. And so it's much greater than if you get a good genetic DNA inheritance and your genetics are blessed by God, then things are going to work out better for you. Right. Even without having, what can I say? Even without having to change a whole lot of things in your life, you're going to find that when the blessing gets into your DNA, it passes down from generation to generation. Now, there's always, just like in a genetic, since Adam and Eve fell, in our genes, there's, in some genes, genetic code, there's some darkness in there. God chose, I think, the purest, cleanest genetic code in the Jewish people, and that from their heritage, the reason God chose them was for one reason, because their bloodline was the cleanest. So God wanted to have a pure bloodline for the blood of Jesus for the birth of Christ. Okay, you understand that. So the other two families did not have the purest blood. I can't remember which one it was that was chosen right now at this moment, but there was Ham, Shem, and Japheth. One of those was chosen because of his bloodline. And so ever since then, God tried to keep the bloodline clean, because once you sin a big sin, like a deliberate willful sin, that sin gets into your DNA. And in the days of Jericho, in the days of when they were marching around the walls of Jericho, and before when they just had the law, there was no way to cleanse your DNA. There was no way to change your sinful nature in your bloodline, which produced your issues, your sinful iniquities. There was no way to change that. You know what they did? They killed them. It sounds merciless, but Jesus came. He went down into the holding tank, and he preached to all of them where they could all have a chance. So you have to understand God's plan was in that, having mercy on those who were born with DNA issues and were killed, just like the story I'm about to tell you is what they had to do with them, because the family who stole the Babylonian garments and some other things and hid them in their tent, okay? So when they did that, it opened up all, watch this, it opened up all of Israel for failure, all of Israel, right? They went to Ai, and they fought at Ai, a little battle, Not a big deal. I don't even think they sent everybody. He said, this is going to be no problem. They lost the smallest battle. Why? Because there was sin in the camp, and God had a plan to keep sin out of the camp as best he could. And the way he did it wasn't the way I'm about to tell you. So Joshua says, God, what's happening? God said, there's some sin in the camp. Somebody stole some stuff that belongs to the Lord, that out of the tithe that belonged. They stole some of the tithe money that belonged out of the God, out of the first fruits that belonged to God. And so they found out who it was. It was a family, and they killed the whole family. Why did they kill the whole family? One family did it. Why did they kill the kids? The kids probably didn't even know anything about it. Why did they kill, the wife? Maybe the wife didn't know anything about it. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. Who knows? But the husband knew. But they killed the whole family. Why did they do that? Why was God so intent on taking out the whole family? Well, just like we've been talking about, when you have the same bloodline as somebody, you are interconnected to them spiritually. The things that you do as a mother and a father affect your children even after they're born. Those things get, because your DNA is very detailed, specifically connected. Did you understand what I'm saying? When you get married and you have children out of your wedlock and your marriage, and you bear forth seed out of your own seed and from the husband and wife, that seed, even though they're out of the womb and they're 20, 30 years old, the things that you do as a mother and father affect those children, because you're connected very specifically, very detailed oriented specific connections to their DNA. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I told you many times that when you take communion and you get cleansed and washed, it can affect your children. It doesn't get them saved. It doesn't get them born again, right? Yeah, they have to ask Jesus in their heart, but it affects them. I've seen it with my own those that are in my family. I've seen it actually literally. I've talked about it a little bit before. I'm going to the details right now, but it's very amazing. Why did they kill the whole family? The children probably knew nothing about it, and they all died. Sounds ruthless and mean, doesn't it? But God had a design and an intent and a purpose for a reason to keep. Now, you have to understand that sin was deliberate and willful. There's only one person out of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, only one family, one person really, sinned that sin because they were all told, do not do this. So what happened to that? What was being shown in that man's DNA and his genetic code and the image that he was made in that showed that he didn't honor and respect the Lord at all? At all. It was revealed in that moment that he did not, he was an Israelite, but he wasn't, something had gone wrong, something went bad in his bloodline, and he did something deliberate and willful, which was very, 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 very sinful against God, right? Because it was plain, it wasn't an accidental sin, it wasn't like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, oh, No, he didn't just sin against people, he sinned against God by taking what belonged to the Lord, and they all knew it, everybody knew this, that the booty that comes from Jericho, it belongs to God. So they didn't just take something that belonged to somebody else. He took something that belonged to God specifically, kind of like Ananias and Sapphira type situation, except that's in the New Covenant, right? We're going to talk about that sometime. In the Old Covenant, they dealt with it in a very strong way. And so God had Joshua take the whole family and kill the whole family because all their DNA, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, was their DNA was all connected. It was all the same, came from the same place, came from the same genetic codes. And all those genetic codes are connected with each child, with each family. So when that man stole that money and took those things against God, he did a dark sin, and his genetic code had been opened up to deep, dark things. And because he did it and his children were connected to his genetic code, it affected them.
So that's the only reason that God had them all killed, or he would have just killed the man maybe and the woman if they knew about it, whoever stole them. But you have to understand, that's God made man. He knows how this works. He knows that the DNA round, the genetic codes that we have inside of us, that once they're tainted, and especially in the Old Testament, when they didn't have any way to change it, like now we do have a way to change it. Now we do have a way through communion, through the Word of God, through breaking those things off of us and different things and changing our DNA. That's why Jesus shed his blood, friend, on Calvary's cross, was because he was giving us his pure bloodline to cleanse our bloodline, to make our bloodline pure and clean so that we would have pure, clean desires and desire to do the God thing, the good thing, the blessed thing, instead of the unholy thing. All right? And so tonight as we take communion, I want you to think about that a little bit. So it's very, 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 very important to understand the genetic, why God did those things in the Old Testament was because he knew one day that Jesus would come and that Christ would go into the storage tank, so to speak, the keeping place of them, and preach the gospel to them, and they would have a chance to change then. So they weren't doomed to hell. They were doomed in a storage tank, basically, and they could receive Christ right then, and God knew that that would happen. So you have to see that it was kind of a, you know, it was merciful. It was a merciful act in the long haul. And so you have to understand that. So, but when you understand the DNA realm, and you see that before the cross, before Jesus, before communion, before he gave his blood, his DNA, there was no chance, there was no way to change it. They couldn't change their DNA. It just couldn't be changed, right? And so when you get a hold of that, you understand why God dealt with them so seemingly ruthlessly in the Old Testament. That's the only way he could get rid of that out of Israel, because he knows, just like maybe you've heard your preachers preach, rebellion can pass around a whole community in no time if you don't deal with it. Same thing with DNA. When DNA, you know, you get to know the neighbors get to know the kids whose father stole the stuff, and they all, oh, yeah, my father stole some stuff from God, you know, and he died, but we didn't die, but, you know, and that thing will be in their bloodline, and they'll be trying to influence people to some degree as to, you know, it wasn't that really that big of a deal. We just needed some stuff, you know, and whatever, you know, but the general thing was that they didn't honor God. They didn't respect God, so... Therefore, the only way God could deal with it was deal with the bloodline and kill them. And so they all died. And that way it cleansed Israel. And then after that, they began to win battles again, right? And didn't lose their battles. Right. So you kind of get a hold of what I'm trying to say there, what the Lord's trying to say this night. And this is starting to get around in the body of Christ. This is going to get passed around more and more and more and more and more, and we're going to begin to see it. So get ready for powerful, powerful revelations on how to get those things cleansed out of your bloodline, washed out of your life, and cleansed from you so that you can start winning battles. So you see the big thing that went on with Israel was that they, once that sin got into the camp, even though the people after fighting the fight, they didn't do that. But we got one person who in the camp who had sinned deliberately and willfully against the Lord, not just against people, but against the Lord specifically. That sin was big, and so therefore all of Israel lost their battle. So just think about when we get those things cleansed from us. Once Israel got once they killed them and got it cleansed from them, that's the only way they could do it in the DNA realm. And so they from then on, Israel was cleansed and started winning. So when you're cleansed, you're going to win. When you're unclean, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. I'm not talking about you're not going to winning every battle isn't has to do with your DNA, but in the end, you're going to win when you don't have sin in your DNA. Amen. When God cleanses it and washes it, God's going to be able to bring you into victory instead of defeat. That doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. It's not about going to hell. It's about winning while you're in the earth. Winning and sinning, deliberate and willful sinning, don't work together very well at all. And so, so we're gonna get a hold of that, and God's going to begin to show us all those things, and we're going to begin to see that. So those of you who have been keeping up with the teachings and revelation that we've been sharing about all that,
you kind of understand what it is that the Lord's trying to say with all this. And it's very, 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 very important. As we take communion tonight, which we're going to do here in just a little bit, you'll see even more so as we talk about it a little bit more. All right. So we want our future generations to start being cleansed. You know, your children, when your children grow up and they marry somebody, if that person that they marry, let's say your kid is cleaner and whatever. Of course, all of our children are clean, right? Yeah, until we find out that they're not. But anyway, my children are the best children because they're my children. Your children are the best children, but because they come from you. But you know, let's say that your best children marry a family that maybe they're safe, but they've had some really, 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 really bad sins, some really dark sins in their genetic code, and that gets into they marry you, your daughter or your son, and within them is that darkness, is that stuff that's gone on. Maybe they've gotten forgiveness of sin, maybe they got born again, but now they're married to your children. So the first thing you need to learn to do, if you can, is teach your children about this lesson. And that's what they would do in Israel. They would pass it down from generation to generation. They would tell them, you know, why these things went on. So you would need to tell your children, tell your daughter that was marrying this guy who you didn't know it, but there's some really, really dark sins, son-in-law of yours, parents or grandparents. Maybe they got forgiveness, got right with God, but that thing is still, some of it is still in their genetic code. So when they have children, your grandchildren will end up possibly, of course you never know who's going to get the genetic code, possibly get that very, very, very dark genetic code, and they're going to find that when your grandchild starts growing up, all of a sudden he wants to start doing some really bad things and can't figure out why. So if you teach your children to cleanse, get that son-in-law's genes clean, you know, and work on that, deal with that, teach on that, preach on it, get them all the teachings. Because let me tell you something, every parent wants their children to be normal. Every parent wants their, so you can use the, you want your children to be pure and clean and not get all the bad stuff that, you know, that was passed down from generation to generation. You want to make sure that they get clean genes. So you're going to teach them how to clean their genes, their genetic code, get their DNA cleansed, so that their children will not, maybe which we don't know which one will get. If they had three kids, maybe one out of the three will get that bad genetic code, and nobody understands why that person just went down the wrong path. And just, you know, then you find out that the great-great-grandfather of your son-in-law was into all kinds of creepy stuff, you know, even though he's dead, that got into his genetic code and was passed down even to your, you know, now to your grandchild. If we start teaching our children, raising them, understanding this, and when they get ready to have kids, believe me, they may be not serving God all the way, but when they get ready to have children, they start thinking, because you've taught them that the genetic code can be defiled in maybe one out of three kids, and that can be stopped by taking communion, by the Word of God, by being cleansed and washed. Believe me, they may not believe a lot of what you say, but when it comes to their children, they're going to believe you about that. They're going to want their children to be right. They're going to want their children to be cleansed and washed and not have those issues passed down from the father's great-great-great-grandfather or whatever. So this is very, very important, friend, because once you understand how the genetic realm works, and most people kind of do, but they think once they get saved that it just settles every DNA issue. Well, if it did, if every DNA issue was settled when you get saved, then how come you and I have so many issues, all right? Yeah, I mean, can't blame it all on DNA, but you can blame most of it on DNA. You can blame most of your sinful desires and the overwhelming sinful desires on iniquities in your bloodline. And when you find out how easy it is, you have to focus on it. You have to specifically go after it, but you can get it cleansed and washed so that you can have, just like God was keeping Israel clean for the seed of Christ, so can you keep your seed clean for the seed of your children and your family. It's very, very, very important. Because if you got all kinds of filthy stuff, you know, passed down from your family, you know, there's no condemnation, friend, but believe me, when that grows up in a child and when their hormones kick in and
all of a sudden, with their hormones that kick in sexually and whatever, and they all of a sudden start going crazy with it, you're going to realize, man, I wish I'd have taught them that, because, you know, when the hormone thing kicks in, it's hard enough like it is to live pure. But when you teach them and get them cleansed from it, then they don't have added to the hormone issue, which brings strong, passionate desires. But the strong, passionate desires won't be mixed with a open door inside of them that makes them want to go a certain direction, the wrong direction. I think a lot of the perversion we have now that goes on with, you know, people thinking they're something that they're not, a male thinking they're a female, and a female thinking they're male, the issues with that, you know, I think a lot of that's just passed down. As each generation gets more sinful and more sinful, people get mixed up on who they are. You have to understand, a lot of that is genetics that's passed down. And it doesn't have to be a specific person wanting to be a transgender, you know, that passed down the transgender gene, but sometimes it's the fact that when sin doesn't get cleansed from the genes and that seed is passed on into the, you know, to our future generations, you know, that if it gets darker and darker and darker, they just get lost. They may get lost and be a transgender. They may get lost and be a lesbian. They may get lost and be a homosexual. They may get lost and be an adulterer. They may get lost and be a, really weird and perverted. So we've got to understand what the problem is and quit condemning the people and start condemning the sin and getting it cleansed and washed out of our families and cleanse them and wash them. Instead of, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge you. I came to cleanse you. You know, he said, you know, the woman who was caught in adultery, she according to the law, she deserved to die. But Jesus said, that's over with. I'm going to now cleanse her genes. I'm going to cleanse her genes. I'm going to cleanse her DNA. I'm going to give her a whole new image, the image that she was designed with. She's not going to want to do that stuff anymore. And sure enough, when Jesus did that, she became a pure, holy, godly woman. And that's the way we should look at it, friend. We should all look at it that way. All right? So we need to get that inside of us really big time and start realizing how important it is to gather that information together and do something with that. All right. Okay. Good to be with you tonight. Thank you for being with us. We are working on, as some of you know, we're working on our market, PGN market strategy. It's going to take a few weeks to get all together. It may take a little more than a few weeks. We're having to get paperwork together for opening up a church account, a ministry account. We haven't even got that finished yet. That's not even completed. Opening up an account for yourself is easy. Opening up an account for a church or a ministry, it takes a lot of paperwork. So we're having to look up paperwork we forgot we had, and we got all of it. It's no big deal. It's just a matter of, you know, gathering it together and sending them exactly what they want. It's gotten pretty strict. So we are all official and all that. It's just a matter of getting it the way they want it, the way they need it. And it's all happening little by little. So pray about that. And then we're putting together percentages of each person, what each person is going to reap the benefits of this. You don't have to invest anything. We're going to invest it for you. The measure that we invest for you is according to the measure that you have, been a PGN friend financially. This is all about financials. It's not about, you know, anything else. It's about PGN financials, the PGN family financials. And we are in the process of investing money for you in your behalf with your name on it. And all that process is happening. It's going to take a little bit of time, a few more weeks to get it all together. And maybe we'll be able to make an announcement soon about all that and send you your detailed information. We haven't sent out any information to anybody yet, and that's going to be several weeks now before that happens. But it's in the works, so I didn't realize it was going to take quite this much, taking a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. I'm excited, man. I'm getting really excited about this. This is going to be a real blessing. So, all right, I got more I want to preach on, but I think I'll just kind of move on tonight to let's get ready to take communion. And I think the DNA thing will keep you thinking for a little bit, maybe. Some of you are new at this, some of you not. There you go. All right, we're going to get ready to take communion, friends, so get your communion cup out. Oh, I don't have a communion. Let me get one.
All right. All right, let's get your communion and open that up. We're going to believe God tonight to minister to you and begin to cleanse your DNA. We're going to very specifically, by an act of faith, cleanse our DNA tonight and close those doors to sin and unrighteousness that's been in our heritage. Maybe we don't even know about it, but it's in our genetic code. Maybe it hasn't manifested with any of our kids, because this group of kids you had maybe didn't get too much of it. Maybe they got a lot of it. You're wondering, why is my kid so messed up? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that's what my parents were saying about me. Why is my kid so messed up? Yeah. Or at least they used to say that. They could mess. All right, let's go do something here. All right, let me do, I'm going to do this. Let's go to the scripture. And go to Bible Hub. 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to go to the scripture here. We're going to take communion. Let's believe God to very specifically focus our faith on the cleansing of our genes and God giving us revelation on how to help cleanse our future generations and our family's genes, their genetic code. All right. We want to ask God to help us to cleanse that and give us the information that we need to be able to share with them what they need to hear, so that our future families, we're just not going to think about our families, right? We're thinking about the future generations of families. So, all right. Okay. All right. Here's the DNA cleanse right here. We're going to start calling this the communion DNA cleanse. All right, I want you to start thinking about it as a DNA cleanse, as your genetic code being cleansed. Because when you realize Jesus shed his blood, what was he doing? Why was it his blood? Why couldn't it just be something else? It was his body and his blood. So when you start realizing that, we're really going to catch on to this. It's going to change the world to come. We're going to change our families, our future children, our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. We can change it right here. We can change it right here. Get every genetic code that's been – has iniquity in it, sin of the fathers. You know, no matter how many generations gone by, they can all be cleansed, and we're going to believe God for that. So Lord, we just lift up the bread tonight. We say Paul the Apostle said he received from the Lord what he delivers to us, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, and we give you thanks, dear God, and he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's drink, eat, friend. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious body. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's lift up the cup, friend. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new DNA of my blood, the new covenant. A new covenant, new inheritance in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink. Precious Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for healing every disease. Your blood cleanses and washes every DNA issue in our blood. It washes every DNA issue, everything that would cause any kind of disease or sickness to come upon us. in any way, even if it's not our particular sin, the sins of the fathers. We just thank you, Lord, that your precious DNA, we drink it in tonight. We drink in your purity. We drink in your love. We drink in your sacrifice. We drink in what your blood was given for, was the cleansing and the washing of our DNA to break the iniquities and the infirmities and all those sins in ourselves and to give us new cells by your body, by your word, and to give us new blood, new, and cleanse our blood in Jesus' name and make our blood new, which is what cleansing does. It makes it new. Sin makes it old. Cleansing and making it pure makes it new. And we thank you, Jesus, for making our blood new in Jesus' name, cleansed and washed in the name of Jesus. Now, I command every sickness and disease. I command your body to be made whole right now in Jesus' name. Any excess of anything your body's trying to override and overtake things, in Jesus' name, I command your immune system kick in Jesus' name. And your free medical that God gave you, your immune system, I command your free medical to kick in and activate in Jesus' name and start causing your body to be made whole, to be cleansed, to be washed, to be reversed and from its sickness into pure cleansing and washing in Jesus' name. The cleansing and washing of the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I want to shout that out. I want to blow the trumpet. The walls of Jericho are coming down in Jesus' name. The bloodlines, the iniquities, the infirmities are coming down. Those walls are coming down in the name of Jesus. And I speak blessing over you. I speak wholeness over you. I speak righteousness and glory over you. I speak the manifestation of God's love in you. In Jesus' name, I speak that whatever you need to have created inside you tonight will be created by the power of the Word of God, by the body, by the dirt. Jesus took dirt and put it on the eyes of a blind man, because our body was made out of dirt. Even our blood was made out of dirt. We thank you, Jesus, for that fresh dirt, brand new dirt. In Jesus' name, apply it to our lives where we need a miracle in Jesus' name, where something is missing. In the name of Jesus, I command that missing part to grow back in, to be made whole in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I command, fear and the fear of death to be broken off you in the name of Jesus. I command anxiety and stress and immobility that immobilizes you in the name of Jesus to be broken off you tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Headaches and mind-binding spirits, be broken off in Jesus' name. Arthritis and cancer, be gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tumors, be gone in Jesus' name. Even if they're not cancerous, be gone. Get out of the body so it can't ever be inflamed in any sense. In Jesus' name, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Somebody's shoulder blades, your left shoulder blade, there's a pain right there. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. Heart conditions, be made whole in Jesus' name. Every valve, every nerve, every blood vessel in the heart, every part of the heart, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Lungs, be cleansed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ears, be made whole. Eyes, be made whole. Tongues and teeth, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Feet and ankles and bones, be made whole in the name of Yeshua, the Son of the Living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, we're here. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Lord, we thank you for your body creating in us, your word creating in us, whole new genetic codes, in Jesus' name, whole new genetic codes, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be made whole, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, well, if you need specific prayer about a specific thing, make sure you send me a text, and I'd be glad to pray over you and believe God with you. So jump right in there and get a hold of it. So let's see if I can check this out here. All right. Everything looks good. Let's see it better like that. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Okay. I'm supposed to text on top of hitting one on the phone, but here a text just in case. Specific prayer over my heart. What to focus on? Prayer for the night. Okay, I don't know who this is, but seven. Who am I talking to here? All right, Jessica. All right. Yes, Lord, I thank you because I did speak about somebody's heart a while ago. Thank you, Jessica. Yes, from California. All right, Jessica, we thank you, Jesus, right now. Lord, I just speak over her heart right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Be made whole. I command your heart condition, that any part of your heart that is failing or not working perfectly, I command it to be made whole right now. In the name of Jesus, be made whole by the Spirit of God. I command your heart to be recreated in the name of Jesus, by the body of Jesus, or by the word of Jesus. When we eat his body and we drink his blood, especially when we partake of his body, we are partaking of his flesh. His flesh, the word became flesh of the word of God tonight. Hallelujah. Be made whole in Jesus' name. All right. Can you pray for my nephew Jacob and my friend Jerome Angel? Yes, that's going on. Okay. Yes. Okay, let's go here. All right. Let's go here and do this. Okay. All right. All right, anybody else have any prayer requests? Make sure you get your prayer request in. Thank God. Let's do that. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Yeah. And asking if she should date right now? Good question. Really good question. Okay. Bring it all together. Let's go here. Getting your prayer request. Thank you for sending them in. Thank you, Jesus. If we get this going on here. Thank God. If you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. Go to randychandler.com on your phone or your computer. randychandler.com on your phone or your computer. And you can do that. and we will definitely receive your offering and pray over it. Yeah. All right. Okay, let's go here. Okay. All right, people giving tonight, thank you for that. All right. Very, very good. All right, let's start praying over offerings tonight. Thank you for that. If you want to give tonight, like I said, you go to my website, randychandler.com, on your phone or your computer. Either one, doesn't matter, your phone or your computer. And just give $5, 5 cents, $50, $5,000, $5 million, whatever you want to give. You can pass it right through there. And we'll just use it for God's kingdom. I guarantee you that for sure. All right. Okay. Let's start praying over offerings tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for everybody's giving tonight. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any specific prayers for your offerings, you might want to put that in there. Yeah, I might pray over it by word of knowledge. Who knows? I don't know, but it never hurts to ask. So if you want to do that, you're sure welcome to. All right. Again, go to randychandler.com and click on donate. You can give 5 cents or $5 or $50, whatever you want to give. Do it because God's giving you a desire to do it and you want to be a blessing. And we're working on our, like I said earlier, we're working on putting together the new market strategy for our PGN friends and family that have been faithfully being a part of PGN and giving financially over the years. And you know, tithes and offerings, or both, or maybe you're just your tithe, and maybe just your offering. And if you've been doing that faithfully, you know, we are going to invest money for you. You don't have to invest anything into it. You don't have to put anything into it. We're going to invest it for you, and it'll be your money. And we're going to invest it as God gives us words for the market. I have a mantle in my life that's been obvious since 2005. January 11, 2005, the voice of God came to me through an angel or someone. I don't ever saw who they were, like an innocent child, and imparted to me the mantle for, you know, the market and world markets. And so we've made some people some money by that. The Lord has. I have nothing to do with it because I'm nothing about it, but God speaks to me supernaturally and has many, 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 many times. We're known worldwide for that, as far as the economic realm. And so now we're going to focus all this information on the body of Christ, PGN body of Christ, it's the body of Christ over the world, you guys. And so those that have already been giving, that have already been being faithful, it's not trying to get people to join in and be a part. If you do that, that's up to you. You can do whatever you want. Do what God's telling you to do. But to those who have been being faithful already, those are the ones that are going to be invested in. And we're going to believe God to bless you really good and really big. Amen. It's going to be your money. Hallelujah. It's going to be amazing. All right. So we're believing God. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, tonight for Andrea, $5 for that building fund offering. That makes that $5, $10 because she gave $5 building fund, put building fund on it. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea. God, I thank you for healing the wounds that have wounded her. And the wounds that have wounded her over the years, Father, I thank you for healing those wounds. And making her new in a whole new level, God. I thank you for making Andrea new in a whole new level, God. I thank you for her sensing a newness and a new hope and a new awareness of God's appointment of her, appointed her, chosen her. And God, because that special feeling of knowing that you've been chosen by God to be a servant of his, God, that she will become aware of that and the knowledge of that will grow and grow and grow inside of her and cause her to, you know, walk in the paths of righteousness of the will of God and the purposes of God. Righteousness is not just doing good things. Righteousness is walking in God's will. That's righteousness. The works, the works of righteousness are the works that God has you do. And not the things that you're doing on your own, forget that. That's like filthy rags. Sorry. But if God's having you do it, friend, it is definitely a good thing. All right. And Jessica earlier asked prayer about dating. And I think if you have the courage to date, you have the courage to do it. I say do it. Many times courage tells you that it's time for something. So if you have the courage to date, date. That's one of the ways you tell is the courage that you have. If you don't have courage, that means God's not giving you the power or the courage to step out and do that. So let the courage of the Lord fill you, and he'll take you from there. All right? All right, Maureen, $5. Thank you, Maureen. God bless you in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for increase on my friend Maureen tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for endowing her with power from on high, like the day of Pentecost. Let the Pentecost experience fill her and saturate her and anoint her and appoint her, God, to this new realm, to this new place. We are entering into a new place, a new season, new time. It's not just a new time. It's a new era, a new era. We're entering into a new era, and God is, because you're born again at this time, and you know Jesus as your Savior, Maureen, you have been chosen for this era. We're in a whole, we're not just another season, we're in a whole new era. And it is about to become something that no one has ever seen before, the world has never known before, like we're going to see it. And you are, God wants you to know that he's privileged you to be born and to be alive at this time. This is a season that you've been chosen for. Your birth was, we don't want to say it was foretold by the prophets like Jesus, not like that, but something similar that the angels knew you were going to be born now. The angels knew that. The heavenly host knew it, especially after it happened, and they know. And they're there to help you, aid you, and give you strength and courage to do what God wants you to do. So I loosen that awareness, God, in Jesus' name, of the holiness, the holy calling, the holy season, the holy era that we are in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Make her aware of that, God. And bless her for this season, God. Show her that you're alive and well in her, and you're going to increase her and multiply her in Jesus' name, and make her know that the God of the new is the God that she serves. Amen. Wake up every morning, and his mercies be new with you. Mercies, new mercies. Everyone, you got to remember that. You're given new mercies, Maureen. Mercy, Maureen. Maureen, mercy. I'm going to change your name to Maureen Mercy. Mercy, Maureen, because every morning his mercies are new. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you with that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up her womb, the womb of her heart, God, where she can receive the seed of understanding in Jesus' name. All right. All right, Sally, $12. Thank you, Sally, from UK, London. She sent me some great information. She said, Randy, ever since you started ministering about the merchandising realm, she says it's been hard for her to watch people. She says she's watched that the merchandising realm with preachers really just, you know, kind of messes up the word, the power of the word. I don't remember exactly how she said it because I don't have it right in front of me, but I thought that was very amazing. And it has. It really has. It really has. She's got it right down the line, perfect. The way she's gotten it, Sally has really been showing some things by God. She also said that the things that we've been talking about how Biden coming administration is going to weaken America. She sent me an email. Maybe I can read that email. I think I will read that. Actually, it's a. I think I'm going to read this. My glasses on. And read this to you. She sent this to me. It's some conservative writer, Neil Gardner. A weak Joe Biden is badly out of his depth. President Biden's summit with Vladimir Putin
in Geneva was hyped in advance by the Biden team as a demonstration of America's leadership on the world stage. In the end, it was a display of weakness rather than strength, offering the Russian dictator a global media opportunity to defend his tyranny and destructive foreign policy. That is from, Putin's press conferences was a master class in disinformation, with repeated attacks on the United States combined with thinly veiled menace aimed. She marked that out, so I don't know what that. So anyway, it goes on, and there's several things there. Oh, here we go. Said the G7 should have been an opportunity for the world's leading economies to advance free market solutions to kickstart the global economy in the wake of the deadliest pandemic in more than a century. Instead, Biden drove a big government economic strategy, prioritizing his desire for a disastrous global minimum corporate tax. His adherence to the left-wing agenda of high government spending, weak borders, and woke ideology has already alienated some European capitals, a situation that has likely now been made worse. This week was Biden's first major test in the world stage. The fact that he failed is so badly set a deeply worrying precedent for the next 3.5 years. Wow. Anyway, so Sally sent that to me. I thought I'd read that. I wasn't going to read it, but I decided to. And thank you, Sally, for that information. So she's kind of just confirming that we're going to see Biden, actually what they're working on is the one world government, the one world economy, the one world answer to everything, the one world government, the unity of all that. But it's not going to work. Sorry. But they're working on that. So Sally is kind of confirming that, being a European herself, there in London, she's from Australia, but she lives in London there, and it's kind of confirming some of the information she's getting about how Biden is, the UN, the United States is going to become like a third world country, maybe a second world country. I don't know. It's not going to be first anymore for long, and that's the strategy that they have, and Sally was kind of confirming that, and I want to thank you for that, Sally. Yes, in Jesus' name, Lord, we bless Sally tonight. We thank you, Lord, for that offering. We just bless her tonight. We ask you to increase her, multiply her. May her government become the government of God. May her numbers with God, may her numbers line up with the government of God. May her name, may her heritage, God, be that of the government of the kingdom of heaven. God, that she be government-minded, the kingdom of God, government-minded. And God, as you train her and teach her, God, to be kingdom of God government, there's no corruption. There's no failure in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's no failure. And I thank you, Lord, for putting her in that realm of no failure with you, God, in the name of Jesus, but success. He told Joshua, if you meditate on my word day and night, which tells you, an obsession, if you will, almost, with meditating on the things of God, the kingdom of God, the government of God. And that's what made Joshua a success. It opened him up, Sally, to the realm of hearing the voice of God so he could know to just walk around the walls of Jericho. That's what opened him up to that revelation was the fact that he was meditating on the kingdom of God, the government of God, the way that God does things. The government of God, Sal, is the way God does things. It's his style. It's his laws. It's the way he does things. So in Jesus' name, be blessed with that. May God open you up to strategies to be successful and to succeed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the doors, God. Double doors. Amen. Terrence and Tanisha, $15. Thank you, Terrence and Tanisha. We just bless you guys tonight. Thank you for the heritage God is creating through you. And you're going to pass down, a heritage from the Lord that people are going to look back and go, look what Mama and Daddy Shelton did, like Terrence and Tanisha Shelton. Look what they did. Look what they've done for God. Look what they opened up for us. Look at the treasures, just like David. David was used to
blessed his family, and his family was blessed with the treasures that came from David. God used David to open up the treasures, even the financial treasures, the treasures of the wealth of being, a man with a heart after God, the whole treasure realm of God, the treasure realm. So the TTs are changed from TNT to treasures, double treasures. Yeah, TT, double treasures. Amen, in Jesus' name, through the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah, that you pass that people look back at you and go, wow, look what they passed down to us. Just like they look back at David and they go, look what David passed down to us. Yeah, and because of him, God didn't judge a lot of the people that failed after him, his great-grandchildren, that kind of, who became kings. Sometimes God would be merciful to them because, he said, because of your grandfather David. Yeah, because of David. And so in Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed with that. All right, Angela Lenham from the Carolinas. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Angela, God. I thank you for her nephew, Jacob. Well, we thank you for Jacob tonight, God. We thank you, God, that you take Jacob and that you begin to watch over him, begin to let him be aware of the power of God around him, of the heavenly host, of the, the supernatural realm where God is, that he will be able to contact and be connected and be in contact with the supernatural superpowers of God, the superheroes, except the superpowers of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, but I'm going to start calling it the superpowers of God instead of the supernatural. The superpowers of God, right, in the supernatural realm. In Jesus' name, open him up to that God so he can connect and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And your friend Jerome, Lord, we thank you for Jerome tonight, God. We thank you that Jerome catch the wave of God's blessing. Jerome is a wave catcher. When he catches something, he rides the wave well. Jerome is going to be a person who rides the wave of things. Sometimes, people fizzle out fast, but Jerome, he's a wave rider. He's going to ride the wave of blessing. He's going to ride the wave of things, that when things are catching on and moving forward. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And bless Angela tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. We thank you, God, that as you change her name, as you move her into the obedient realm, as be obedient and faithful to God, that just like the Father said about Jesus when he was being baptized by John, he looked, shouted out with a loud voice, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Why? Because he was an obedient, a willing obedient, not just obedient, but a willing obedient child. And Jesus was a willingly obedient child. There's a difference between a child who does things because they have to, because they better, than a child who does it because they trust their father. And Lord, I thank you that you put that spirit in Angela, God. I thank you for the anointing in her that has caused her to be awakened. Talk about the wake culture. The wake culture of God is being awakened to, why God, the purposes of God, to see into what's going on in your life as God's purposes, how he's working things in, how he's doing things. Sometimes we're blinded to it, but somehow in our heart we will know that God's working out something together for good, and we just keep moving forward because we know that God's working, just like Joseph did. Even though Joseph was sorely messed up with, issues that weren't fair, he saw purpose. Somehow he saw purpose in it. He kept his eyes on the gifts God had given him, and he became a friendly person. He became a person who he could be friends with. And so I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the same way with Angela, in Jesus' name, a friend of God. All right, Gary and Mary, $18. Thank you, Gary and Mary, and the building fund. Thank you for that. Isaiah 59, the scripture they gave, 20:21, the Redeemer will come to Zion. Literally, he's going to come to Zion, to those in Jacob. Yeah, the 12 tribes who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Amen. So it's not just coming. He's coming to those who change their mind and realize the Messiah is the Messiah. He's going to come to them. Amen. That's the household of Israel. As for me, This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words on your lips. Yes, Lord, I declare and decree that. And I decree that for Gary, in Jesus' name, that your words are on his lips in the name of Jesus. I'm decreeing, declaring that his lips are going to vibrate. You're going to feel your lips vibrate, you know, like a gentle vibration or something. I don't know what that is, a vibration of energy passing through your mouth, letting you know that God is imparting something into your lips. Amen. Like I said right there, and my word, my spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words on your lips forever. God, I thank you for the forever words in the lips of Gary, God, in Jesus' name, that the lips that shape and form, when God spoke, his lips, his words that came through his lips, shape and form things in the image and likeness of God. And I thank you, God, that with Gary, you're going to use him to shape and form people and things back into the image, into the purposes that God has made them for, in the originality, the origin. God's going to show you the origins of things, Gary, the origins of things. Amen, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Mary tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for blessing her. We thank you, Lord, for the communion realm becoming real to her, Father, in a brand new way, to becoming a thing of healing, of opening up to the purposes of God being made known to her, the purposes of God being made known. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for that right now by the power of God. In Jesus' name, let it be done for her in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 All right. Thank you, Gary and Mary. God bless you guys. All right. Thank you very much, Gary and Mary. In the name of the Lord, may you eat. May you eat from the lips of God. Every word, may you live by every word, Gary and Mary, that proceeds from the lips of God, from the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the lips of Almighty God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. That blessing has been pronounced on you by God somehow or another. I don't know who's pronounced it over you or what, but somehow that blessing has been pronounced over you, and it's a done deal. It's a God thing. Yeah, it is. All right. All right, just a moment. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. Yes, thank you, Sandra. She's been my Noelle and Sandra being my technician. Thank you for that. Yeah, I slipped away just for a second. Thank you so much. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you for watching over us and being watchmen on the wall. Watchmen on the wall tonight. All right, Anya, $7. Thank you, Anya, for that. And we just bless you tonight, God. You know, I just keep hearing the Lord say, when I saw your offer come in, he said that the train's going to fill the temple. The train. Isaiah talks about the train filling the temple. And I just got that on you. So there's some kind of movement happening with you. Hang on a second. All right. Isaiah 61. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Hallelujah. You're going to see the train of his robe. I don't know what that means for you, Anya, but you're going to see the train of his robe. Look it up in Isaiah 61. It talks about the train of his robe. His robe. Something about his robe. You know, I've read that many, many times, but what has all of a sudden exploded in my spirit towards you is, and his train filled the temple.
is train filled the temple. So God, I ask you to open up the revelation of the train filling the train of his robe. Let's say it the way the Bible says it. The train of his robe, the T-R-A-I-N. I'm going to look at that one more time. Yes. It says the train of his robe filled the temple. I looked up in the train of his robe, in his train. All right, I love that. The train of his robe. Several versions say the train of his robe. I had to make sure that I was reading it right. Because even though I've read it many, many times, I know it said that. It's like there's something unique about it, something different about it. There's something coming to pass about that. So the train of his robe, like, if anybody knows what the train of his robe is, or if you can look that up, train of his robe, maybe look up what that is. I don't know what that is. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can find something here. All right. Here we go. Okay, the train of his robe, a skirt, the bottom edge. Oh, my gosh. I just looked up the Hebrew. I just did this on go to Bible Hub, and then you find the one particular scripture, and then go down to the bottom, and you see it'll give you the Strong's, the Hebrew meaning, and it's seven Strong 777757, a skirt, a bottom edge. That's the hem of his garment. No, that's not the hem of his garment. That is the hem of his garment. Something different. I don't really know what that is. It's just for. Because Sandra says, like the long part of a wedding dress. Okay, I did not know that. Okay, like the long part of a wedding dress. Okay, which means, so spiritually, I don't know. It's cool, whatever it is. I don't know exactly what it means. Maybe it has to do with wedding. Maybe it has to do with, you know, the wedding garment, the wedding, you know, the wedding, the wedding. So, hey, in Jesus' name, let her discover that, Father, in the name of Jesus. We open that up to her right now by the power of God. I know she has a husband, so this has to be something with the Lord, as far as, you know, God's going to reveal that to you in Jesus' name. So that's powerful. And it exploded in my spirit right away. The train of his robe is going to fill the temple in your life. God's going to show you what that means. It's going to be something you're going to experience. Amen. Thank you, Sandra, for that help. All right. Let's go here. And Paulette, $25. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you, Jesus, for the heart you've given Paulette to be a discoverer. You're going to discover a lot of things, Paulette. God's going to show you, it's like you are a discoverer. You're going to search out and find. You're going to get to the root of things. You're going to get to the answer. You're going to get to the real problem of things. God's going to really open up, Paulette, to you, the purpose for things. Because if you understand the purpose of a thing, it's like okay, when I go to the gym, there's a massage chair you sit in, and it kind of, you sit in it, and it rolls on your back, and so, you know, they have to give you coins for it, even though it's free. They have to give you coins to put into it. And when you put a couple of coins in, they only give you one coin. The rule is that they give you one coin. And that one coin lasts, I think, like 6 minutes or 5 minutes. And you can't get two coins because in case somebody else is in line, they don't want to let you sit there and use it up, you know, for 30 minutes or 15 minutes. You get 5 minutes, and then the next person comes in, you know, right? So that's the rule. Like, that's the rule. But what's the purpose of the rule? The purpose of the rule is, what's the purpose behind things, Paulette? So the purpose of that rule, the reason that rule was made, was because if there's a lot of people waiting in line, then you get one coin, you get 5 minutes, and then you get out and somebody else gets in so everybody can get a turn. But many times I go in there, there's not anybody in line, and there's two chairs, and there's nobody in line. And they give me one coin. I said, well, can you give me two coins? You know, there's nobody waiting in line. They said, oh, no, we can officially only give you one coin. It even read right here the directions. It says we can give you one coin. That's it. I'm going, okay, that's fine. Thank you. And so I was sitting in the chair and I think, man, I wonder if they know what the reason for that rule is, what the purpose. They just read the rule and they do it, and they don't even know what the purpose behind it is. So, in other words, if there's never been anybody waiting in line and I'm the only one that uses it, then why not give me two or three coins, you know, because it's kind of like the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath type thing. In other words, the rules, people don't even understand what's behind things. Why is that rule being made? So when you understand why the rule's being made, then you can be gracious and go, oh, yeah, here's three coins, Randy. You can be on there for 15 minutes because there's nobody waiting in line. But if you don't know the purpose of the rule, then you go, one coin, that's it. I'll get in trouble if I give you more than one coin. Right. But if they knew the purpose for the one coin, it's for a lot of people waiting in line and to move the line along, but they don't know that. They don't search it out. They don't find out. So that they can be gracious and kind of not bend a rule, but just work with it because there's nobody in line. Right. You see what I'm saying? So God's going to show you the purpose of things. That's what kind of with Moses. Moses was, God showed him his ways. The ways means why that rule was made. Why did God make that particular law? Why did God kill all of the family of that one man who stole that garment from and those golden cups, brass cups out of Babylon? I mean, out of Jericho. Why did he kill them all? Well, because God just gets mad. No, when you know what's behind it, the DNA thing and how it affects those things, then when you start seeing why things work the way they work, God's really going to start showing you that stuff. It's going to be really, truly amazing. So get ready and let God show you, and he will. I'm sure he already does, but get ready for more of that. All right, Donald and Tanya, $30 building fund. Thank you for the building fund. That 30 became 60 just by putting building fund on your offering. Thank you for that, Donald, Tanya. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your covering and your caring. God, the ability to care, and I see God's care doubling for you. I don't even know what that means. His care doubling, like getting the double dose of the Holy Ghost care realm of God caring for you. In other words, making sure you're being blessed financially, making sure you're being blessed with the right people, making sure you're being double. God is doubling the care, the caring for you realm where he shows his care for you. I don't know what that's about or why that's happening all of a sudden, but it's like God says, I'm doubling. God's moving you into the double realm, to where, especially in the realm of care, you know, where God takes care of us every day, right? So what does that mean? If he usually gives you, you know, 30 minutes of time, he's going to give you an hour of time. You know, if usually gives you one thing, he's going to give you two things. If he gives you 10 things, he's going to give you 20 things. You see what I'm saying? There's the way God cares for you and provides for you, you're moving into the double realm with that. That's really awesome. Really, really cool. Cool. A cool call. All right, Bianca, $35. Thank you, Bianca. May God be with you. May God bless you. I want to pronounce a blessing over you, like a father or something, like a priest. That's what I want to do right now. I feel the priesthood in me rising up to say, blessed be you when you go in and when you come out, Bianca. Blessed be your food. Blessed be your finances. Blessed be your wisdom. Blessed be your holiness. Blessed be your creativity. Blessed be your friendship. Blessed be your life. Blessed be your body. Blessed be your mind. Blessed be the way you think. May God increase and multiply your thinking abilities. May he move you from tenfold to 20-fold, and then from 20-fold to 30-fold, and then from 30-fold and move you on and on. May God increase you and multiply you. In Jesus' name, like God spoke the blessing over Adam and Eve, he said, may you be fruitful and multiply. Amen. And that wasn't just having children either. That's what most people, what most of us think about, right? What I think about. Oh, God, no more. No, please. No. Amen. So much for that. Amen. All right, Jayla, 40-40. Thank you for that, for Jayla. And I thank you, God, for Jayla. I thank you, God. Just begin to prepare yourself for prosperity. Begin to prepare yourself for blessings, Jayla. Begin to prepare yourself. I mean, prepare yourself for start thinking, okay, what if I had $10,000 extra a week? What if I had 10,000, what would I do with that? You know what I'm saying? You start preparing yourself for wealth. Start preparing yourself. People who get wealth and aren't prepared for wealth, it ruins them. Oh, it would never ruin me because I'm so right with God. Yeah, I know. I've said, you know, I think a lot of people say that, and I'm not saying you say that, or, but people say that. That's what they think. They think, oh, I would never do that. But when you prepare for something, that means you have built up a resistance preparation against the failure of prosperity. The failure of prosperity? Yeah. Prosperity can make you a failure. But if you're prepared for it, that's why the whole thing with Jesus, when Jesus said in John, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, according to Jesus, was sent to prepare the way for him. There was an amazing anointing on John the Baptist. People, even though he never did a miracle, not one miracle, they thought he was the Christ. Some people thought he was the Christ because he was so powerful in his message, in the power of preparation. And that shows you that Jesus ain't going to send no wimp out to prepare the way for him or anybody else. Anytime God has something he wants to do, he prepares people for it. So God wants you to begin to prepare yourself for wealth. Just to begin to prepare yourself for it. Yeah. And get ready for that. Because if you don't prepare yourself for it, when it hits you, when it comes upon you, you're going to like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this $10,000 extra a week or a month or, you know, whatever? What am I going to do with this? Start letting God, you know, let your imagination go and start thinking, okay, now, if I'm prepared for this, and you may change it when it actually happens, but, you know, you kind of already got the gears going toward it. Instead of thinking, I'm going to be poor and broke and busted the rest of my life. Oh, I'm going to believe God for a miracle, but, you know, whatever. No, start preparing the way. Start opening your mind. Start letting God give you scripture. And start, you know, just acting like you're wealthy. Acting like you're blessed. You know what I mean? In a sense. And that doesn't make you blessed, and it never will make you blessed to act like it. But you know what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, go in there and say, okay, God, you say you're going to bless me. I believe it. I'm going to start preparing myself in my mind, training myself how to think, how to take care of things, how to be a good steward, and the whole thing. Amen? Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed with that. All right. Noel, $50 building fund. Thank you. Pray for my son, Matt. Yes, Lord Jesus, we pray for Matt tonight, God. We thank you that Matt, you know, everybody has a little bit different way of the personal prayer life with God, the personal crying to God, crying out to God. I thank you, God, that Matt has been connected to God. Noel, he's been connected to God. There was times that I was connected to God. Now, I didn't walk with God, but I had this thing, you know, is God really real for me? Will Christianity actually work for me? Or is it just a bunch of hogwash for a bunch of people trying to be holy, trying to be, you know, whatever? So I had to, you know, when I got ready, because I had a connection, I had a godly grandmother. My mom and dad were good people, but they weren't really, you know, what I call godly. They were good people, but they weren't. My grandmother was godly. You knew why she was godly. You knew why she was good, because she loved Jesus. You knew that. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew it. She wasn't self-righteous. She was a very humble person, but she was kind of my connection, my first connection, my family connection with God. And so that always made me, you know, think my granny is awesome. My granny, I love my granny. And I know she loves God, but God, that's good for her, but is that good for me? And so, Lord, I thank you with Matt. I think the whole process for him, I think he knows it. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to work in to him and show him that God is for him, that blessings and blessings from God are from him, and relationship and fulfillment with love is for him, in Jesus' name. And start with that, God, in a brand new fashion, in a brand new level, in a brand new way, God. That the love of God in him will start to rise up in Jesus' name and cause him to do the thing that I did. When I finally did it, I said, God, if you're really real, you know, what I was saying was, if it's real for me, then show me. I want you if you're real. If you're not, forget it. So if you're real, I want to know. And boy, did he ever show me. I mean, that was getting saved for me. I was ready. man, when it hit me, nobody thought it would last, but everybody was wrong. Everybody was wrong. Because they knew I was I didn't have the strength and the will to stick to anything, you know, unless I really liked it. And they thought, yeah, it's just a religious thing for me to get over it. And I never got over it because it was real to me. And that was a big question. And same thing with Matt. And God's going to show him that. And so thank you, Lord, for Noel. We just bless Noel tonight, God. We thank you for the freedom and the freshness and the purity, God, that you're developing her, a new level of purity, a new level of cleansing, a new level of awareness that God is with you. Same thing we're praying for Matt, really. If you think about it, same kind of thing. Like God is with you, that this is really working for me, even though we know Jesus works for us, but does the blessings of God really, the real blessing really work for me? That's the thing God's going to, just like with Matt, is going to connect to, like what I connected with God, and truly cried out to God. And then God truly answered when I truly cried out. And I hear a true cry from you, a pure, holy, pure cry, crying out, God, show me, you know, for me. This is for me, right? I mean, you know, I know it's for other people because you see it, but this is for me too. I'm in that. I'm in line for that. The blessing and the blessing of wealth, the wealth of your love, the wealth of your financials, the wealth of, you know, of being a mover and a shaker. Is that for me? Yeah. Yes. And when he shows you, you know, you can have it prophesied over you and you can start believing it, but until that becomes really real for you, when that word becomes real for you, Jesus told his disciple, you know, many, many things about himself. Basically told them that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He told them that several times. And they knew he, you know, they kind of thought, okay, I believe it, but, you know, but guess what? Peter got a revelation from God about it. So God started showing Peter, you know, as Jesus recognized, he said, man, my father just showed you that, you know, and Jesus knew. And he knew how important it was for the father to show Peter that he was the Christ, rather than him just telling him. He said, flesh and blood is not revealed. So that's that whole thing we're talking about tonight, is that getting it from the father, though Jesus can tell you, I can tell you prophetically, other people can tell you, and that's the beginning of it. But when the father reveals it to you, just like he revealed salvation to me, and that it was for me, and what it did for me, the very thing I needed was to be cleansed of the filthy mess. And he cleansed me and washed me, and man, it was everything I ever hoped of and dreamed. That's why I've never walked away from him, because I know what's out there. I've been out there. I know what's out there. It's filth. It's dirty. It's nasty. It's dark, and it's dangerous. And he captured me, and I let him, and I didn't fight. I said, come on, let's do this thing. And so he's going to do that. Amen. All right, Sandra, $60. Thank you, Sandra, for your $60. Sandra had a show last Sunday. It was awesome. From what I hear, God doing some really good things. Some God's opening up. There's a new anointing on you to break bread. God's going to show you how to break bread. You have to learn how to break bread. I have to learn. I'm always learning how to break bread. It's something you never really get. You fully attain to it because it's something. It's what keeps you seeking God about how do I communicate? How do I communicate to my husband? How do I communicate to my family? How do I communicate to heathens? How do I communicate to Christians? How do I communicate to certain groups? God's going to show you how to communicate. It's not like you're going to go, oh, that's a group that needs it this way, so I'm going to talk to them like this. It's just going to come out of you automatically, Sandra. It's just going to, you're just going to step in, and all of a sudden you're going to start wanting to talk like this. You know, and you're going to talk to them in a way that they're going to be able to comprehend it. Being all things to all people is kind of one way to say it. Because a person who's able to be all things to all people is able to communicate. It's about communication and being able, like Jesus knew what parables to preach on and talk about around whoever he was around. He just started, you know, information just started, because, you know, he created all of it, so he knew how it all worked. So he would use those things to reach that particular group of people to get them to connect to the kingdom of God, and they did. It was powerful. And maybe though most people didn't understand it, sometimes we have to realize, Sandra, people are always going to understand what we say, but when it's planted in them by God and watered by God, God's eventually going to give the increase, and they're going to like, They may not really know that they came from you, but yet they're going to know it came from you because the DNA of that comes through your DNA with the DNA of Christ, Christ in you, through you. And that imprint that is put on people, those seeds that are planted, have your DNA on them too, right? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Even though God gives the increase, he has to connect this to somebody somewhere, some way. So the communication realm is extremely important, and God really moving you into that. And then people are going to come back and go, man, you know, I don't know what it was about her. I didn't really get it at first, but wow. I didn't really understand just like they said, Jesus, we don't understand what he's saying. Like when they sent one of the soldiers to go pick him up, go get him. He knocked on his door, and Jesus came out and said, it says some mystical statement, you know, kind of blew his mind. He just kind of like walked away like, how come I didn't get him? How come I didn't grab him like I was supposed to? I'm going to get in trouble for that. So he goes back to the people who sent him after pick up Jesus, and he kind of goes like, how come you didn't get him? He said, man, nobody talks like that guy. He didn't even know what it meant, but it's like, nobody talks like that man talks. It's like it disarmed him completely. The disarming of his words. And so God's going to show you the disarming of the words. Even if they don't understand it, it's just the disarming of the power to disarm and turn people that are out to maybe find fault with you or come get you or, you know, whatever, mess with you, trip you up, whatever. Your words are going to disarm them, and they won't even know why. Why didn't you say that to her? Well, I don't know, man. It's like when she says something, it's like I just couldn't say what I was going to say. I couldn't say it. It's like I couldn't do it, you know. Why? I don't know. It's just something mystical about that. So the disarmonization, which sounds like a deep word. I don't know if that's even a word. Disarmonization. You might see if that's a word. I don't know if it is or not. But, and that's what the Word of God does. It disarms the enemy until it's time for you to be, you know, like Jesus, when they finally came and got him, they were able to get him when it was time. But until then, it disarms him every time. And nobody even understands what it means. How did he disarm you? I don't know. It's just he said something like the kingdom of God is, I just kind of went, okay, Jesus, see ya. And I forgot what I was there for or something, you know. Like, I couldn't get him. I couldn't handcuff him or whatever and lock him up, you know. Like, I couldn't bring him. So, yeah, so there's something about that anointing is on your life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jeannie, $70, building fund. Thank you, Jeannie, for that $70. Thank you, God, for the things you're teaching her. God, God's moving you to the revelation realm, Jeannie. He's going to show you that what the new wineskin and the new wine is all about in the revelation realm, in the realm of learning, in the realm of what God is trying to awaken this generation for. Because he wants to use us, Jeannie, to save a generation. And how's he going to save a generation? Through the DNA realm of forgiveness, and very specifically pointing to that and moving into that realm and saying, this is the problem. This is why our children, even though they're saved, they have issues that we can't figure out why, you know, where they got that from, because they were such a good kid, and all of a sudden they turned into a whatever in their DNA, and we didn't know it, and we didn't deal with it. Therefore, we have big messes everywhere. And so we, Jeannie, are going to open the world to this, not through the DNA change of the one world government of the Antichrist, which they're going to do that, but through Christ Jesus. And so it's the new wine in the new wineskin. It's the new message. It's the new thing. It's one of the things, God, you sent me a text on that today a little bit, and I'm kind of bouncing off that a little bit. But you've been chosen by God to be a part of that. You're on the inside of some of that. And that was chosen by God for a reason, because he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you because of the treasure realm that God has had you a part of for several years. There's a treasure realm that's been downloaded that you don't even realize how big of a treasure it is that God has been downloading to you and has connected you to, and it's all yours. It's all yours because you chose to obey God, to connect to it, and therefore you made the right choice. God helped you make the right choice, and because of that, it's God's blessing. It's God's treasures. It's God's new wine
and new wines. I mean, the people are looking for it everywhere. They're looking for the answers. They know there's something wrong, but nobody seems to be able to figure out how to change it. Yeah, and we have the answer, and we talk about it right here on PGN, and you talk about it, and God's showing you more and more about it. It's going to change the world. It's going to heal the world. It's going to deliver the world. It's going to save the world through the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God, the preaching of the true gospel of the kingdom. Amen. All right. Awesome. All right. Angel of Joy, $80, building fund. Drink your water, everybody. Make sure and drink your water. All right. Drink your water. Make sure and drink your water. Don't get dehydrated. That warfare you're going through, all it is you need to drink some water. Some of it, your warfare. Yeah, we talked about that last night. All right, we're going to start talking about that more. We're going to talk about more of those things, more. All the little things that trip us up about we think we're having a spiritual battle, but all it is a natural thing going on. Do we have spiritual battles? Of course. But, you know, so there you go. All right, Angela Joy from Georgia, in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for Angela Joy. Lord, I thank you for all the ways that God has made you flexible, Angela. He's made you flexible. He's given you a flexibility. Even though you hate unrighteousness and you hate, you know, the things that defile, you hate the things, God's putting you a real hatred for evil and for unrighteousness and for the things that defile, the things that destroy. You've been around a while like me, and you know the things that are destructive. There's nothing but destruction. All that stuff is nothing but darkness and evil. And God is really giving you that. You have a real hatred for evil, just like God does. God hates evil. He loves sinners who are full of evil. He loves the sinner. And God's really going to move you into a place to where you're able to see people getting free of that evil. That because you have such a hatred for it, like God does and like Jesus did. Jesus hated evil because it destroyed the very people that he loved. And he was the everything that was made through him. So he was connected to all of it personally. He made every person who had demons. He made them. He knew them. You know, he was connected to them because through him, everything was made. And so God is connecting you with this thing of through Christ, through you. Just Jesus hated the evil because he knew it hurt the people that he loved. And God's really giving you, because you have such a strong hatred for evil and wrong and sin, it gives you such a strong love for the sinner. The more you hate evil, the more you have a love for sinners and sin, those that sin and those that are in bondage to sin, the more you love them, because the less you hate evil, the more you kind of like get used to it, the less you love sinners. The more you hate evil, the more you love sinners, because that's how it works. And God's really working that in you and giving you the power, because your understanding of it is what empowers you. Your understanding of unrighteousness and evil and having a hatred for it instead of a lukewarm attitude about it is what gives you power to, you know, speak and destroy the works of it. In Jesus' name. Now, we're here to destroy the works of Satan. Amen. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. So God bless you with that. In Jesus' name, may your job and everything you're doing work out and be blessed. God anoint her, fill her, bless her double. Bless her double in Jesus' name. Amen. Nicole from D.C., $170.77. $147.50 is offering and $30.27 is building fund. All right. Thank you so much for that, Nicole. Thank you for the offering, for the building fund. And we just thank you, Jesus, for increasing her and multiplying her, God. Thank you, God, for just opening the door for her to move forward, God, in her purpose, in her Jesus. You know, when Jesus was 12 years old, his mother and Joseph came and said, you know, what are you doing? You know, we've been looking for you. He said, well, I'm about my father's business. And I thank you, Jesus, for Nicole's father business, the father business, bringing forth children, bringing forth childlike faith, bringing forth the child realm, the innocent realm, the trust, the innocent trust realm of God, and seeing that happen, about the Father's business, what the Father's business is. How can a little 12-year-old be about the Father's business? Well, that's because he was connected. That's because he knew, and he knew supernaturally. He was connected supernaturally to the Father. The Father was at his baptismal service. You know, the angels sang at his birth. You know, sang at his the announcement of his birth, I should say. So he was born connected, and so when you were born again, you were born again connected, and to the Father's business. So Lord, open up the Father's business for her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The revelation, the understanding, the realm of childlike, pure, innocent faith, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And let it be done. I hear you saying, let it be done unto me according to thy word. That's the Father's business. The religious business is to take the word and make it happen. That's what the religious world takes the word, the Bible, and makes it happen, makes people bow down to the word, makes people do that. But the true Christ, the Father's business is like Mary did in saying, let it be done unto me according to thy word. In other words, it's not forcing it, but letting it be done. Like God, we don't force God's word on people and make it work. We receive it and let it activate us. Let it move us. Let it change us. We don't take it to change people. We give it so people can receive it and say, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Amen. The religious world shapes and forms people into its image through the word, which is not the way Christ does it, not the way the Father does it. It's not the Father's business. That's man's business. That's the religious world's business. Amen. And God's going to show you the difference. Yeah, that's really cool. The Father's business. Wow, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Chris, $200. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. We thank you, Lord, for just blessing him, God, increasing him. Lord, I thank you for the maneuvers you give him. I thank you for the wisdom you give him. I thank you for Solomon's wisdom, God, that you give Chris, that he's able to stand up and stand under the fountain of youth, the fountain of youthful information, that brings things and makes things fresh and new, of giving him, Solomon had the wisdom that people were so refreshed when they heard his wisdom because it made them feel like, okay, I'm safe now. I'm protected now. Because we have someone who has getting wisdom from the Father like that. It's amazing. People came from all over the world to see, hear, and hear his wisdom. So whatever area God gives you wisdom in, God wants you to really grow in that and multiply in that. So that wisdom you have is like Solomon's wisdom, and it's people will come and say, when you do this, how did you get so blessed? How did it happen to you? What did you do? And the wisdom you give them is going to be like the wisdom of Solomon, and it's going to be powerful. It's going to help open up people to, the way God does things, in those particular things you're working on and doing, and with your family and with your land and property and the prosperity and the blessing of God, and God really opening you up on how the kingdom works toward that, and how a blessing works, and how what happens to you when you have the blessing, and. So God's going to teach you about that so you can, give the wisdom of it to others. And when God connects you with a particular mantle new thing, along with that comes the wisdom of God. Right. So you can do it God's way. Wisdom is doing things God's way. That's what wisdom is. Amen. Moses was given the temple instructions in specific precision. Amazing how that would happen, specific precision, amazing precision. And it was just amazing wisdom. God was giving him, wisdom, man, from above. It was literally from above. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay, hang on a second. All right. Got that. Regina. Yeah. Okay, Regina. All right, Regina. Okay. All right, Chris. Awesome. 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 I'm checking offerings, seeing what else is coming in. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Regina, $100 building fund. Jackie, please pray for Jackie's. Pray for Jackie. I think it's Jackie. Kidneys to get healed from. From Jacqueline. Jacqueline or Jackie. And Lord, we just pray right now for Jackie, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we rebuke this condition right now in the name of Jesus. Father, and I pray in Jesus' name that you'll the King's Train. I just saw Jeannie's text in the King's Train, so hang on a second. I got so much stuff going on. It's really cool, man. It's really amazing. So Jackie's kidneys, God, we just thank you for Jackie's kidneys. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on her life, God. We thank you for the anointing that's in her to run to her kidneys and heal her kidneys right now. The anointing that's in her, Christ in her, run right now to her kidneys and cover her kidneys, heal her kidneys, and bless her kidneys, God, in the name of Jesus. All right. Okay. Hang on a second. Okay, give me a second here. I'm shifting gears a little bit. I just saw this text from Jeannie. Jeannie, I didn't know you'd sent that. Please pray for my bladder. Get healed also. Yeah, in her bladder in Jesus' name. Lord, just thank you for that anointing to come into her bladder, God, and heal her bladder. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. All right, Jeannie says something here. In the king that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. Train of his robe filled the temple. The imagery is taken from the practice of earthly kings. These great monarchs commonly wore flowing robes. It told how powerful the king was in that particular country. The king's train was actually made up of pieces of swatches of a royal robe. Of defeated kings, the conquering king would have portions of the defeated king's robe cut and sewn into his own robe as a symbol of a testimony of the conqueror's strength and power. Isaiah looked at the train on God's robe, and there were so many conquests until his robe filled the temple, symbolizing he had defeated every enemy. Wow.
What an amazing revelation. That is amazing. Thank you, Jeannie. I just saw that. I didn't know you said that. Amen. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. All right. We're going back here. And, okay, so let's pray for Regina, $100. Thank you, Regina, for that. And let me just bless you. Hang on a minute. All right, Regina, thank you, Lord, Regina. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for, I heard the word split the heavens, just split the heavens, splitting the heavens over her, God, and pour out the blessings of God on her. Split open the heavens and let the veil be rent in Jesus' name, and let the heavens pour down upon her, God, clothing you with righteousness, for clothing you with a new robe for a new season, clothing you with new clothing. New symbols of clothing, new shoes, new clothes, new. It's like a whole new life, a whole new thing, a whole new beginning. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this whole new beginning with her. In the name of Jesus, that the old passes away, that I see you wearing the new. I see you wearing the new thing that God's doing. I see you wearing that. I see you, I see you like going, wow. And it's made you a new person. Something about it is making you a new person, bringing you from glory to glory, like a new realm of glory with glory clothing for it. Like in Adam and Eve, they wore glory clothing. That's what covered their nakedness, was the glory clothing. They didn't actually have on physical clothes, but they had on glory clothes. And I see that God doing that with you, giving you glory clothing. And that may even be literal physical clothing too. So in Jesus' name, I bless her with that, God. In Jesus' name, with that new family, with a new, give her a new man, God, give her a new man, a new beginning with new those robes of glory, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen, amen. Somebody that she can dwell with, and in peace and love and righteousness, and walk in the kingdom of God together. Let it be done right now in Jesus' name, amen. And the Triple A's and all of her family, God, we just bless her babies and her children. Increase and multiply them, God, in the name of Jesus, and watch over them. And heal somebody having a left shoulder issue, the left shoulder kind of at the top of your shoulder, really the neck, right between the neck and the shoulder blade, the neck and the shoulder, that area right there. God's touching somebody right now. In Jesus' name, be gone right now by the power of God. Be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Cheryl from Florida, $200. Thank you, Cheryl. In Jesus' name, kingdom of priests. I keep hearing this thing, the kingdom of priests. That's what we tag our ministers now. That's what God's having me call them when we ordain people. We call them the kingdom of priests because we believe God's raising up a kingdom of priests, and that's what we already are. But we're going to be wear the spiritual clothing of priests. The priestly clothing, the priestly garments, spiritual thing, you know. So when we go into a Holy Ghost party with God, a wedding party, or some kind of a thing with the Lord, into a meeting or to a place, you know, the angels are going to know what kind of clothing you have on because they can see beyond the physical clothing. You may have on the right physical clothing sometimes with people. People may have on the right physical clothing, but do they have on the right spiritual clothing? You can see people in a church having a get down at a church and worship and praise and preaching and prophesying and building people up and praying for the sick and people getting healed and all that. And people, the angel can see, Cheryl, the angels can see who has the robes, the priestly robes on. That's why angels hang out with people, certain kind of people, because they see the priestly robe with them. And so, God, I thank you for making that aware in Cheryl, God, making her aware of that, her priestly garments. In Jesus' name. And there's different levels of priestly garments, of course. And so I thank you, Lord, for showing her that, God. And to those who don't have priestly garments, sometimes they're going to be asked to leave, like the wedding party. When you didn't have the right wedding garment on, you had to leave. You were cast out. You were put out because you didn't belong. But when you have on the priestly wedding garments, God's going to give you priestly wedding garments. Wow, I don't even know what that is, a priestly wedding garment. I'm not sure what that is, but whatever that is. In the name of Jesus, clothe her, God. Show her that clothing. Show her those garments. Show her the purpose of those garments, how they are spiritually,
how they are prophetically, and how they are, you know, the purpose for God's purposes, for the angelic beings to recognize, recognize you and to see who you are. Okay. Amen. All right. People sending me messages, but I can't really watch the messages right now because I'm at it. But thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Man, that's amazing. All right. Carmen, $285. Carmen, thank you, Carmen, for that. $285. Carmen is hard at work. Bless you, Carmen. We just bless you in Jesus' name. We thank you for this. For it's like I see you cutting covenant with God in a new way. Like you're cutting a new covenant with God or something, like a fresh covenant. Like Israel always had a covenant with God. You know, they had covenant with God for 400 years or so before they came out of Egypt. But God had them cut a fresh covenant with a fresh land, and that fresh covenant brought wealth to them. It also brought them healing. It also brought them out of the system and took them toward their homeland, their place where they would live and dwell forever that was already prepared for them through Abraham and others. And so I see you cutting like fresh covenant with God, like fresh blood being spilled, you know, and the Lord, fresh lamb blood or something like that. Christ's blood's only shed one time, but when you get a fresh revelation of it, it's just a fresh cutting of covenant. It's a fresh, it's like when Israel cut covenant, a fresh covenant, you know, if they didn't put that, they already had a covenant with God. They could say they already had a covenant with God before they ever put the blood on the doorpost. They already had that. But God was saying, cut a fresh one. And they cut a fresh one. And when the angel saw the fresh one and on the doorpost, he passed over, right? So there's something going on with you where God is having you cutting. It's about cutting. Like God told Moses, I was listening to it today, he said he was going to kill Moses if Moses didn't circumcise his child. And then finally his wife said, you are a bloody bridegroom. You bloody, like an Aussie. You bloody bloke. I hope that's not cussing in Aussie, but whatever it is. But they, you know, it was just, you know, cutting the fresh covenant. I mean, God was, you know, having to do that. Israel, when they were getting ready to cross over the Jordan, none of them were circumcised. None of the new crew were circumcised. None of the new children were circumcised. Believe that or not, none of them had been circumcised, had that covenant. So they had to all be circumcised, 20 years old. Wow. And so I don't know. There's something about that with what God's doing and refreshing, renewing, and getting ready for protection and provision. Protection and provision in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tanisha sent in a dollar. She said, please pray for Zena and Vin. All right. Zena and Vin. Lord, we pray for Zena from that guy. Thank you, Lord. For Zena, we thank you, Lord, for blessing her. God, we thank you, Lord, for in any way, if she's cursing God's people or cursing people, sure enough to do that. Because when you curse God's people, you know, you curse yourself. It's not that God's people curse people. See, that's the thing about Tanisha. When people, you know, don't understand and they're bitter, when they have bitterness and those kind of things are going on in their life, they, you know, we don't, as you know this well as I do, that you don't have to fight them and curse them and bind them up and cast them out. But what we do is we do good to them. And when they curse us, when we have that blessing of God will bless Tanisha for those who bless her and Terrence and curse those who curse you, you know, then those who curse you, as we walk in the covenant of God and we live under that covenant, then when people curse us at whatever level, then we're protected because God curses the people that are trying to curse us. And cursing us, as you know, as we talk many times, doesn't mean they don't like us or, you know, but it's when they're trying to undermine us and trying to destroy us, then that within itself, they curse themselves. And some people are aware of it and stop it. Like in Pharaoh's case with Abraham, he said, man, why didn't you tell me this is your wife? You know, type thing. Yeah. So, thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. So there's something to do with that wife thing and the God Yeah, so there you go. Jesus' name, open that up. Amen. When God brings two people together, like Ruth and Boaz, you know, wow, watch it, because there's something new going on there. In Jesus' name. So we pray for Zenith tonight, God. We ask you to give her wisdom and knowledge, God. We ask you for to break the spirit of bitterness and resentment and the hate and the unforgiveness and the pain and the heartache and the jealousy. God, break that up in Jesus' name. Just like when Abel and Cain, God received Abel's offering and not Cain's, and Cain got jealous and tried to kill him. Well, these days we're protected from that when they try to take us out or whatever. But the jealousy, some people just don't understand. That's just the way God does it, and that's just the way it is. So we pray for Vin tonight. Lord, we pray for Vin. Ask you to give Vin, God, an understanding that about the peace, about what true peace does. And when you don't walk in true peace and don't want true peace, then you don't get true peace. True peace is the opposite of what you get. You get false peace. Peace, then sudden destruction. And I thank you, Lord, for Vin, God, that you show Vin how to want peace, how to live in peace, how to want to be in peace, and be in peace and know peace, instead of being angry and barking at people like a dog, like an angry dog, like an angry animal, in Jesus' name, and instead of having true peace, where we don't get caught off guard, if you will, with false peace. People, when the people lie about things, they're trying to bring false peace, like, you know, believe me, I have the truth, and we're supposed to be at peace with that. But when it's false peace, then sudden destruction comes upon that. And so I thank you, Lord, for teaching Vin how to walk in true peace and not be angry, like to walk in true peace and try to find ways to settle things and understand and forgive and bless, so that you won't be caught off guard with some disaster, with some thing, because you had false peace. And God was trying to wake you up to the fact that you're walking in false peace, to wake you up to true peace, just like he did with Saul, who became Paul. He knocked him off his horse because Saul thought he was doing the right thing. He was killing Christians. God says, you know, he knocked him off his horse. And, you know, and so Paul got awakened to, I thought I was doing the right thing. I'm not. Believe in a lie? Yeah. You're persecuting me. Oh, okay. And he stopped persecuting him and entered into true peace with God. Amen. Bless them, God. Just teach them how to be blessed. We can all be blessed. But if we don't do it God's way, then it's false peace. Amen. All right. Shannon, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him into that covenant with his marriage relationship, God. Bless him with that. Help him with that, God. Give him revelation on that. Show him how to draw that in. Show him how to move into that covenant realm, how to be draw to lift Jesus up and draw all men unto him, draw all people, draw to him what he needs. In Jesus' name, draw to Shannon what Shannon needs, God, in the name of Jesus. Draw, not push, not shove, not make it, not, you know, play games with things. Be friendly. Learn how to make conversation with everybody. Try to find as many people and just say, you know, it's just something I've been learning lately, Shannon. God is really bringing me I'm shy in some ways. In some ways, I'm not shy at all. It's kind of like, you know, crazy. But so lately, I've been finding myself to be more friendly with people, you know, just not for any other reason. Just, hey, man, how you doing? And I talked to them for a second. You know, your hair looks great, looking awesome. You know, hey, brother, you know, a lot of the guys at the gym, I'm getting to be friends with the guys at the gym, the owners and the guys who manage the gym and who run the gym. You know, I'm becoming buddies with all those guys. It's all because I go in there and have fun with them. We just have fun. We just, you know, to be friendly and to open up the door for friendship, you know, and not just, you know, going to somebody and say, you know, hey, I'm going to date you. You know, be friends with them. Find that God's going to show you how to be friends. And I've not been very good at that before, necessarily. And now I am. I'm really much better at it. And it's changes everything. Because once you buddy up with people and break down the walls of strangeness and I don't know you, friendship breaks down that wall. Amen. Friendship isn't just going up to somebody and ask for a date. Friendship is being their friend. Find a way to befriend them. You know, find a way without, you know, it being that I need you. I want to date you. I want to marry you. You know, let it be about I want to be your friend, and then be a friend, and then you get to connect with each other on that level. Then you take it to the next level, right? Yeah. All right. So thank God for that. All right, he says that's confirming, excited about the investment possibilities too. Yes, the investment thing is on the way. We're trying to open up a church, a ministry, a business ministry, 501c3 nonprofit organization account, a trading account, and we're doing that. And yeah, that's being worked on right now. I'm getting all the papers together. They're so strict. Some of these companies are so strict. The stricter probably the better. But man, some of that paperwork they ask you for, I've got it all somewhere, but I'm having to order some of it from the IRS and from the state because there's so many different parts of it, that we don't have just right on there with us every day. So I'm having to order it and talk to them, and it's all going good, but we have to open up that account. So, yeah, pray for us about that. We're excited about that. The mantle God's given me for that, I think, is going to be the boss to bless the body of Christ in this season. And it's going to be awesome. Really, really awesome. Okay. Thank you. He said, I'm praying. All right. God bless you. Thank you for praying. Okay. Anybody else giving tonight? I think that may be it tonight. Is that it? I don't know. Let's see. All right, we may have an early night tonight. Nobody else is giving on. That's good. It's okay. There's God. All right. Okay, here we go. We got some more. I didn't see these. Okay, Marja. $30, Marja. Thank you, Marja. All right. Okay. Thank you. We will wait for you. All right. Checking the offerings again here. Thank you, LaShawn. Oh, this is Sean. I didn't see LaShawn. Thank you, LaShawn. Awesome. $50. Thank you, LaShawn, for that. LaShawn. Hang on a second, we'll go in here. Thank you. Okay, hang on a minute. Okay. All right, give me just a second here. I'm waiting on just a moment. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Give me just a moment here. Give me a second here, y'all. I'm getting everything together here. Give me just a moment. I'm still at it here. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Wait a minute. Okay. Still here. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Marja, $30. Thank you, Marja. We thank you for Marja tonight, God. We just bless her, God. I thank you, Father, for the true prosperity message that God, you're giving her. You're going to give her the true prosperity message, how we truly prosper and how our prosperity is brings us peace. It doesn't cause us to be, you know, cause trouble, cause pain, cause heartache, cause trouble. But the Bible talks about godly wealth, godly blessings don't make you have sorrow, right? They don't create sorrow. They create blessings, and they create happiness and joy. And God's going to show you that true prosperity, Marja, brings true happiness and true joy. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for opening her up to that and showing her. Because when you truly get the prosperity message right, the way it's supposed to be, it's not a bunch of wheeling and dealing and trying to get scriptures, to force scriptures down your throat or make yourself believe scriptures so you can, you know, fantasize yourself into something. But it's letting the Word of God come into you and letting it create true wealth within you, the wealth of knowing that the number one wealth we have is how we reverence and honor God and respect Him and honor Him and love Him. And I see a whole other level of respect and honor and realm of respecting God and understanding the physical realm of how God has authority over the physical realm to bring whatever we need. Because the earth, all the earth is made to, it wants to provide for us. But it wants to provide for those who are sons and daughters of God, who are walking in that blessing. You can be a Christian and not be walking in the blessing. When you learn how to walk in the blessing, then the earth, somehow or another, the whole earth and everything in it is made to create, take care of Marja. That's the way God made it. That's the way he created it. So when we walk in that, the earth groans and travails, longing and waiting for the sons and daughters of God that walk in the covenant. And then you find yourself just being blessed without even trying. Seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness, Marja, and all these things will be added to you. God, I know you know that already to a certain degree, but God's really going to show you that at a whole other realm, a whole other area. And that way your wealth will not make you, you know, unhappy. All I got is money, but I ain't going to end. Now you can have money along with the wealth of love, the wealth of friendship, the wealth of family, the wealth of blessing, and the anointing of God in your life. Amen. All right. Jeff and Yuke, $250. Thank you for that $250, Jeff and Yuki. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that the power of love, the power of love over you guys. That God giving you the power, showing you the power of love. Really give you know Yuke that realm of the power of love, the love of a woman. God gave there's womanly love from God and there's manly love from God. In other words, man has a love that's unique. Jeff, okay, I know you already know this already, but men have a manly love that's a kind of lay down your life for your wife, right? That's what it does. That's what manly love does. A womanly love wants to be fruitful and multiply and increase and for the family, for the future, for other people. She wants to have children. She wants to, you know, she wants to, like a hen, gather her chicks together, and whatever that, whatever around that, first her chicks can be, our children can be other people, you know, and then it can be our own children, of course, too. But there's this theme of the love of a woman that God has given, a female love, if you will. It has a whole different love than the love of a man. And when we find out how those loves fit together, the love of a man, how different it is, and the love of a woman, how different it is, and how they, God has caused them to come together and fulfill each other. And God's showing you guys how to walk in that, how to live in that, so that when you're blessed, the thing you have first is God and each other, and then your wealth, then your blessing, then your business. God, each other, and then that. And so I thank you, Jesus, for uniting them together, Father, in a brand new fashion, uniting them together with a manly love and a womanly love, God given, and let them see how that God gave a man manly love for a woman to drink it. And God gave womanly love for a man to drink the womanly love from the woman, and learning how to drink from each other and partake of each other and fellowship with each other and commune with each other, how that brings great satisfaction. That's the way God made it. But it's got to be God's manly love, not macho manly love. God's love is macho. Yeah, cool. But it's godly. And when a woman drinks of that, wow, that's awesome. When a man drinks, is able to drink of that womanly love that God gave, it's made to satisfy and nurture like nothing else. There's nothing else like it in the world. God made it like that. That's why he took the rib out of Adam, and something that we need. We need it. We need it. We need it. And they need us. They need us. We need each other. And that the love of male and female is tremendously special and beautiful. And God's going to show you guys how to walk in that. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Amen. All right. LaShun, $50. Thank you, LaShun, for being raised up. God is raising you up. God is showing. God is teaching you, showing you, raising you up. You know, you're finding your way with what you're called to do, what you're called to be. Not just do, but be. God is showing you how to be what he's called you to be. And that changes. Just if it doesn't change, then there's something wrong. And God wants you to know that if he changes you, that means that you're growing. Okay, I thought I was going to do this. I thought I was going this direction. I thought I was going to be this. And it's changing. With me, it changed from being, I thought I was called to be a, you know, an evangelist, pastor, actually an evangelist, healing evangelist. And as I tried to move toward that, you know, it was great. It was fun. But I wasn't satisfied with it. There was something missing there. And I thought, God, how can there be something missing with it? And it created a bit of anxiety. So I, even though God was using me and it was a good beginning, he little by little grew me into being what I am today. And he's still growing me, of course. So God is growing you into what you are. So you're going to be changing. You're going to be realizing, just like I did, like, okay, what am I really called to do, God? I mean, I'm preaching, I'm prophesying, I'm ministering to people. But I didn't know I was a prophet. At the time, I was a pastor when I asked that. I was pastoring. And, you know, I wasn't totally, you know, finding fun with that either. And so God had to show me, you know. So anyway, so your purpose, walking in your purpose is Jesus said, my meat, my satisfaction, my fulfillment. And that means in every area, financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, family, the whole thing. My meat is to do the will of the Father, my satisfaction. And so when you start walking in the will of God, like you're not walking in the will of God. I was walking in the will of God at the time, but it wasn't the full will. It was like 10%. Then I moved into 20%, then to 30%, you know, and I moved more and more into my calling. And now I'm learning how to fit into my calling and all the different aspects of my calling. So God wants to show you that. And the more you walk in that, the more all the blessings of God come to you, including money, including wealth, including blessings, because that's part of the package. It's just part of God's package. No, we don't need that. Yeah. Oh, you don't need that. Okay. She's not saying that. I'm just saying that's people think, oh, we really don't need money. We just need God. We're going like, yeah, right, until you need money. Then you need money, and God wants to give us money. We need money. You know, he wants to bless us. So there you go. All right. Lisa, okay, let's see. I forgot. Oh. Where did that come from? That was weird. Okay. Let's go here. And, okay. Oh, okay. Here's the order. I didn't edit it correct. All right. All right, Lisa, $19.20, building fund, Sean Proper Randy. I sent you a text asking for prayer for Andre and his situation. I also sent another offering on his behalf. Thanks, blessing Lisa Raquel from Pennsylvania. Okay, thank you for that, yes. And I think I might have seen that. Let me go back and get that again here. Okay, give me a minute here. Okay. Okay. This offering is for the building fund. Andre, his 11-year-old son Alex and the son's mother Katie. Please pray for them. Andre is struggling, feeling helpless to deal with the problems going on with the son and the mom. Yeah, I can imagine. It's kind of difficult when you're in prison. Yeah. So Lord, we just pray for Andre and his 11-year-old son Alex. Lord, we just pray for Alex and Andre's son, who's a friend with Lisa from Pennsylvania, and we just, Jesus' name, God, we thank you for helping Andre realize that because his son has his DNA and his genetic code in them, believe it or not, they're connected. And when we change, it changes our children. You know? Yeah. So if the issues he's having is coming from his mother's side of the family, that's going to sound funny, but then it's a different thing. His mother's going to have to change. So whatever, I know it's going to sound really like, anyway, just hear me out. Whatever, like the genes I got and the calling even that I got was from my mom's side of the family. They were all a bunch of God-called pastors. I mean, they were pastors of big, large Baptist churches and, you know, and my uncles. And I got the genetic code from my mom. They have hairy chest and you know, that kind of thing and go bald. Well, that's the side of family I got the genes from, and that's also where my calling came from. So my dad's side of the family, a whole different thing. My grandmother's a very saved lady, but my dad was like an Indian. He had one hair on his chest, I think. He just wasn't a hairy man at all. Black hair, black wavy hair, tall, 6'2", you know, and looked more like an Indian. And so, you know, yet I got more of my mom's stuff. So it depends on what DNA they've gotten. I know it's going to sound crazy, but so sometimes the thing to change a son, if the mother and the son have the same DNA and linkage, that's where the sins, that's where the issues come from. He's like his mama. Exactly. And if she had problems, she may not have problems now, but if she had problems in her DNA and he's got that in his DNA, you're going to have to deal with it from that perspective. And that's why we talk about the blood of Jesus, the DNA of Christ. That's why we talk about that. That's the purpose of all that. So you have to know how to pray that. And pray that if the mother's not saved, you know, so not that we can't deal with them without the mother being saved, but because the son needs to be able to be prayed over and blessed and get his blood changed, get his sins forgiven, get his life renewed by God. So we just pray that will happen, God, in Jesus' name. And for his mother, Katie. In Jesus' name, bless them, God. Bless Andre. God, show him how to, you know, how to live, you know, in a place of knowing that he can plant and water, but only God can give the increase. And we need to do what we're called to do and do it, and then we can only do that, and that's it. And when you learn to do all you can do and leave the rest to God, then that takes a lot of the frustration away of being able to handle things. Yeah. So, all right. And $19.55 and $19.20. That's, about $40 that could use for that. We just bless the building fund, and we thank you, Lord, for blessing Lisa, God, and helping her to give understanding to people like Andre and others of, we can't always explain DNA issues to everybody and say, you need your DNA changed. But when you tell people that they need to get saved or something about the gospel, what you're telling them is that they need the blood of Jesus. That's what we're really telling them. Now, to get into the details of it, you're going to be talking DNA talk, and realizing how this all happens and how it works and how the Bible talks about it, the whole thing. So God's going to show us all this stuff, Lisa, and teach us how to pray and how to deal with parents that, like, let's say, I don't know if Katie's saved or not, but let's say she's not, and her son has nobody connected to him that's saved in the family that has that genetic connection that's powerful. Don't have to have it, but it makes it easier. And so that's why God always chooses one person in every family to get saved, because he changes their DNA. If their DNA is linked to others, it doesn't save them automatically, but it brings them to a place to where when that person changes, it opens the door for them to be changed easier. You think about Samuel. Samuel's sons were bad sons. They were bad sons. So, and Samuel was a good, godly man. So they probably got their mama's genes. I mean, just to be honest with you, because they were some bad dudes. I mean, they were like ripping people off. And all the people of Israel said, we can't trust your sons. Your sons are not like you. That's what they told him. Your sons are not like you. They're dishonest. You're an honest, godly man. What is that? They probably got their mama's genes. sorry, they could have got their father's, but they didn't. It doesn't make you perfect. It just makes it easier for you to be right. You still have to get saved. Even with good DNA, you got to get saved. But so people need to get a hold of this message and understand this thing, how important it is and how vital it is to understanding the sin realm and how we're going to handle it, how we're going to pray about it, what message we need to be getting across to people. Amen. God open you up for that. Amen, and bless you and supply your needs according to God's word. Let it be done unto me. Let it be done unto me. Not force it, not push it, not make it. And we're going to get this message. Let it be done unto me. Let it be done. Not take a scripture and make it happen. And that's what a lot of Christians say. It's the biggest bunch of hogwash bull I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. And who I believe teaches that stuff too, a lot of it. Doesn't mean they're not men of God, but they teach that nonsense, and it's destructive. All right, Manjula, $7. I'm not going to go there, I promise. I'm trying to promise. Manjula, $7. Thank you, Manjula, from Australia. We thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing her. We thank you for increasing her. God, we thank you for settling her heart, and that she's going to be blessed, that you're going to bless her, that you're actually walking over her to bless her. You're actually watching over her, finding ways to help her. God's not just trying to find ways to get stuff from you. Amen. As you know that, but God is wants to show you that he's trying to find ways to get you blessed. Literally physically. God's going to open your eyes to that, man, Julie. It's going to change the way you think. To a higher level, from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, from revelation to revelation to revelation. Every revelation I get takes me to a higher plane of who God is and what he is. If we're not changing on a regular basis, we're not getting revelation on a regular basis. Yeah, revelation changes me. It's changed me about a lot of things. It truly has. And it's the same thing with you. You're called to it. All right, Jonathan, $3. Thank you, Jonathan. We pray for you and Melissa. We just bless y'all in Jesus' name. God increase you, multiply you. Show you how to be faithful to him, and you are a faithful person. God's showing you how to bring your faithfulness and loyalty to God in other areas, how to, mix it into other areas of your life and in ways that will, reach the right people at the right time, the right place, to give people the information that they need, that they will want, that they will crave. God's going to wants to connect you to information that people will crave, and God wants to give you information that people will crave. Like we talked the other night about things, and you know, about the, some of the natural issues with warfare. And I'm talking about my family. Okay, thank you. It does not sound nuts to me. All about cleansing and bloodliness. Yes, and changing the DNA code. Yeah, I know you are, and I really think that's awesome. Thank you, Lisa, for that. Amen. So, Jonathan, God wanting to give you information to that people will crave because it's effective and it's simple and it's easy and it's like, oh yeah, that's it. You know, because the world tries to complicate. It doesn't want to get to the root of the problem sometimes because they don't know what the root of the problems are or how to fix things just in the natural. Like the other night talking about how the full moon. Well, there's a full moon out. There's pressure coming on the earth that causes everybody mental anguish. I've asked people, I've even gone around and interviewed people. And when the full moon's out strong, I say, how are you feeling today? Well, I mean, I have a little, I can feel like there's pressure on me today, like not, more than normal. I went, really? Did you know there's a full moon out there? They said, oh, that's just nonsense. I said, no. Now, physically, literally, scientifically, it's proven that it puts pressure on the earth. So you start explaining people to those things. So when I'm having a bad day, they go out and see this full moon. Like, that's nuts, man. No, that's practical, real information, you know, like the foods you eat, how it gives you emotional, you know, problems and like you're, you know, not yourself right now. I want to go to sleep. I'm feeling emotionally messed up and blah, 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 blah. So there's a lot of information that people need. Shannon says, most people feel great after a good thunderstorm.
Cleanses the atmosphere, right? Yeah, I think it's amazing. A good thunderstorm is awesome. I hadn't thought about that. That's really good. Yeah, because you feel clean, especially the farmer. I would be a farmer when I was growing up, when I was saved. And, you know, I loved it when the rain, because the crops, everything loved the rain, loved the storms. But it's cleaning and, you know, shaking things and moving things around. Yeah. That's a good point, Shannon. Really good point. So there's a lot of things in the natural realm, Jonathan, that we can give answers for that can be a very unique vein of gold or revelation or understanding. And God's showing you how to connect into that. And, you know, even interviewing people, talking to people. So God bless you and give you and raise you up and bless you with that and bless your finances. Amen. All right, y'all. Awesome. About it. It's 11:45. It's still kind of early, but amen. I think I'm going to call it a night. If nobody else, tonight's kind of giving night. And all the other week, we prophesy over people, pray for people, teach, revelate, like we do tonight. And we prophesy over people again on Thursdays, and if you have a prayer request, send it in, and I will definitely pray over you, no doubt. That makes the night, the giving night that we have every week on Thursdays. People give, and we pray over offerings. So thank you, guys. Wow, is that it for the night? I think that may be it. Go back and check. Amen. All right. You guys have a good weekend. And, we're going to get into a lot of different teachings. We're going to make some things really practical. And we're going to give some real practical information along with some really spiritual information that people are going to be going like, whoa, man, where'd you get that at? Yeah, like that. Exactly. Where'd you get that? Yeah. How about from heaven? Will that be sufficient? Will that suffice? Will that make you happy? We get it from heaven. Heavenly information is, believe me, if it's truly heavenly information, it will change the way you think and do and everything. Yeah, we're learning that. Change the way you think. A renewed mind. I need a renewed everything. Can you get renewed everything, Jesus? Can you do that for me? Please?
All right. I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank God for people who are giving, and thank you for all of it. I'm just realizing how much I've done here on this. All right, praise God. Okay, y'all. All right, pray for us as we get together on the all the information for the setting up the fund for the church, for the ministry, and get ready to bless people. We're going to invest it for you, as we've told you many times, kind of keeping the word spread. And we're passing on the blessing to you. You don't have to invest anything. We're going to do the investing for you. It'll be your money. And you know, you have to always keep that money that we invest for you in there, but the money that is made off of that, above that, you can take it out anytime you want and do whatever you want to with it. So it's just kind of a new, really cool thing. And with the way that the confirmations that I'm getting about it, how blessed it is already in my spirit, then, it's going to be cool. All right. Nicole just gave a 2020 offering. Thank you, Nicole, for that. All right, Nicole, we just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the new beginnings of her life, God. We thank you, Lord, for a whole new creation. God's going to show you, you know, we don't create our own world, like I've heard some people say, that the hyper-faith people think you create your own world. I don't believe that. They think you take the Word of God and you find a scripture that fits your thing and you speak it and quote it, do it until it comes to pass. I don't think that's God. I do not think that's God at all. God says, let it be done unto me according to thy word. In other words, when he speaks to us, then we take that thing he reveals to us and we say, let it be done, let it be done, let it be done. So God wants to create a new world for you, and Nicole, and he's going to show you how to let it be done, where it's totally supernaturally done by God Almighty and not by the flesh. Because everything we do with the flesh, as you know, I think we've all had plenty of flesh stuff that we've all done, you know, trying to do what God wants, you know, the whole thing. And God really wants to show you how to let it be done. So when God does it, then God takes care of it. God watches over it. It's like it's laying it up treasures in heaven. There's no broth, no rust, no corruption in it. So I think you for sure heard the no corruption realm in Jesus' name, and how to let, you know, seek God. But we don't seek God with what we think we need that needs to happen. We seek God about what he shows us, how to let it happen, let it be done. So thank you, Jesus, for that and the revelation you've given her, Father, on how to build her new life and let the laborers that labor not labor in vain. In other words, let it be God doing it. Let it be done by God, and in Jesus' name, and anoint her with that, God. Let it be an anointing, and teaching other people how to build, you know, the same way, build with the same thinking, the same revelation, the same understanding, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Come together right now. I don't know what that is. What is that? The Beatles? Whatever that is, I don't know. Something like that. Come together right now. Okay, everybody. All right, awesome. We're going to call it a night. So calling on Thursdays to listen is great. But usually once I minister, prophesy over, you know, 20, 30 people on the offerings, I usually don't prophesy over anybody else after that. Most of the time. Sometimes I will. But call in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and whether you can give or not give, it doesn't make any difference. You minister to everybody all the time. Thursdays, just believe in God and pray over those who feel called to give to PGN, because we're your family to some level and to some degree. We're going to call it a night. All right, everybody, God bless you. Thank you very much. It's been awesome. Have a great night. Thank you for the building fund. We're working. I'm going to give you more information on that here pretty soon when it's changed. We're believing God for about $700,000, and for that. So God speaks to you, just jump it right in there. Drop it in the bank, into our bank, into the ministry bank, and we'll get us a studio. Amen. Literally. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's going to work out. I know that for sure. So, all right. God bless everybody. We're going to call it a night tonight. God bless you. Thank you very much for being with us. And pray for us that we let it be done according to the word.